Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, Doug, it's Thursday, February 8th, 2024. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Why? You're getting even more excited about the new year now that we're in February.
I like even years.
Yeah. Well, speaking of excitement, I still haven't come down from the high of having Braden Bowers on the show last week.
Like, people
have been like, they'll stop me in the grocery store and say something like, "Do you work here?" It's really it's been a fantastic time. But today we have a longtime friend and colleague of yours, a fellow comic in the whole Austin, Texas situation. And you already know this. It's no surprise to you, but I'm telling the listeners because they hear this part. It's Brian Gutman.
Hell yeah. And we're going to ask him all sorts of questions about Bachelor Nation.
No, we're not going to ask him anything about it. I bet you he hates it. I mean, you can ask him about it if you want to, but it doesn't seem like a Brian Gutman thing to do.
Yeah, it feels like it would anger him for sure.
Yeah, I don't think he's into it. But, you know, both of his names have spelling twists in them, if you ask me. So I can't wait to find out what's going on with his middle name.
Ooh.
Do you have any guesses? You don't know it, right?
I'm sure I've learned it at some point in my life, but... we've discussed before, middle names just kind of are
they just go away unless it's really memorable. Like now I can't even remember what it was, but Natalie Cuomo's middle name was so disturbing. but I guess for Brian Gutman, because Brian spelled with a Y and Gutman's just all over the place, so I think his middle name is Seth with two T's. that's my guess.
We'll see.
Let's go to work. Hello, Brian Gutman. Happy New Year.
Hey, Doug. Hey, hello to my two Dougs.
My two Dougs. Oh, my God. I think you might have inadvertently give us a title for this episode.
Oh, yes.
Right out of the gate.
Dude, I feel so... Should we just leave?
Well, I mean, really the goal of the whole show is just coming up with a dumb pun for the title.
Exactly. Yeah. So we should wrap it up. Let's do plugs.
Yeah, let's get right to it. I'm going to be at... The hoo-hoo-ha-ha. Yeah, you heard me.
Man, that's a tough room to get into.
How are you, man?
I'm good, dude. It feels like it's been a while, but it wasn't actually that too long ago that you came through town.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
That was in September, maybe?
It was something. I was trying to think today.
I think it was September because I go to Fantastic Fest every year in September.
Okay. I was thinking it must have been around spooky season because I feel like post show everyone's in the green room and there was a lot of like horror movie talk in the green room. So I was
yeah, Cap City. That was in in October?
It must have been.
I think it was. Mary Santora is upset. Like, she thinks the only good movies are horror movies. And so I think I really triggered her conversation-wise because we, you know, all throughout October on Douglas Movies, we talk about horror movies quite a bit. Yeah, so that's what it was. Yeah. Well, okay. I narrowed it down. But
yeah,
but then, anytime you run into Mary, though, she's going to talk to you about horror movies if given the chance.
I love it. Yeah. Because there was a part of that conversation that really like stuck in my mind. You somehow we got onto talking about you had seen the movie, and at the time I hadn't. You had watched a Skinamarink.
Skinamarink.
Yeah,
I knew that's what you were gonna say.
Really? Oh, yeah, that's funny.
Skinamarink is like the movie that I least like watching that I like talking about. You know, like it's fun to, once you've sat through it, it's fun to talk about it, but sitting through it isn't fun at all.
That's really what ended up happening. I got Shudder. So, because I wanted to watch Jonah Ray had a movie that had just come out. This is only like a few weeks ago. Yeah. Which, and his movie is super fun. And then while I had Shudder, I saw they had Skinamarink. And I was like, oh man, I remember talking to Doug about that movie. And so I watched that, and I've got bad news. I think I liked that movie.
Whoa.
So you were looking for, like, you needed an ASMR horror movie?
Yeah. I wanted a horror screensaver to watch.
Yeah.
Which is what it, but there's, once you like settle into
there's
what
people
it's,
that like it, it's
oh,
crazy.
It is straight down the middle, man. It's either a 5-star review or one of those 1-star reviews where they start with like, if I could give this 0 stars, I would. Like, people are so split if on I that
could,
thing.
If I could get in a DeLorean and go back in time, I would not see it again. That's the one thing. If I had 3 wishes from a genie, all 3 wishes would be no Skinamarink.
Yeah, that is absolutely, and I went in knowing that, like, before I even hit play, because Shudder has like user or like whatever they are, like reviews on there, and it's either like this was really cool or it's that hatred. So I was like, all right, let's see what it is. And like, to be fair, like 20-ish minutes in, I'm like, I think I see what those 1-star people are talking about, but there's just enough like jump scares and spooky moments like later on where I was like, it did leave me like thinking about it when it was all said and done. I was like, I think this means I like it. Damn it.
I there's been some movies over the years that I, you know, thought I hated, but they really stick with me for some reason. And that's obviously part of why they stick with me, is because like they have such, you know, freakish or, you know, violent imagery. But the thing about Skinamarink is just that's what I find most fascinating about it, is that people like it, that there are people who like it and will defend it, because it has virtually no story. It's you know the photography is very, you know, blurry and dark, and but you know, people get into it. But I imagine I watched it at home, and I imagine watching it in a theater, and it would have to be a draft house. I would have to be able to drink and eat the entire time, because I would need something to do, because it's just not, I don't find it riveting, but I did want to get through it. I wanted to watch all of it. I was grateful it was only 90 minutes long.
Yeah.
That was if that, it's like 80 something.
That was it too. It was like, I want to get this. I want to understand what's happening here. So I'm going to laser focus. But like, yeah, I was at home, but I've gotten into this habit of, especially like that kind of, it started during like all the pandemic stuff, where like my nighttime ritual is like, once everyone else is asleep, lights out, movie, headphones on, tasty beverage. And then, so that's like kind of almost, it's funny. There were people who like left positive reviews for that movie where they like lay down these terms, like it's best to do over the ear headphones, all the lights, like there are all these like rules on how to make this movie good, which is just how I watch a lot of stuff now. And so I think I just like, I guess it's true, because yeah, it all worked in my favor, I guess, you know, once things got rolling, even though things don't really get rolling, but yeah. So, but that, I was thinking of that whole conversation we had at Cap City because of all that.
The best way to make this movie as good is to not watch it. Like
there were people like, all right, try to be high, try to do this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know I've been guilty of it for sure, because like you sometimes you just see a movie and you realize, oh, there's certain things that probably would make it, you know, the optimal experience. But at the same time, when people get on their high horse about you didn't, you know, you didn't watch it in the right format, that's why you didn't appreciate it. That gets a little tiresome.
Yeah. Like this can't be so specific where the planets have to align so much to make this enjoyable. That can't be the case. Yeah.
But like, that's why a great comedy, you can watch it at home alone and see what, how great it would be. But like a comedy that relies on, you know, being with a lot of people who are all sort of enjoying it together, you know, that's what's sort of killing comedies in the theater, is just, they're just not, they're not happening as often, because when you go to the movies, it's hardly ever like a packed house anymore. So you don't, you know, you don't get the kind of the joy that you get from a comedy with a full house, you know?
Yeah. You're not
or even a scary
energy.
Movie too. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Oh man. But yeah, I was thinking about that this past like 24 hours or so, like I got to tell Benson that I've got to regretfully let him know I think I liked this movie. Damn it.
I forget. Did Mary Santor, was she saying she liked it, or she was just unfamiliar with it?
Oh, man. I don't remember.
I might have been schooling everybody about it, because I know Doug to this day hasn't dared bother with it.
I haven't seen it, no.
I know, yeah.
Now I'm curious. I might... I've heard people say it's very split.
But it is also a perfect, like, you're throwing a Halloween party, have that on in the background, because you don't have to ever look at it. It is just like like these like kind of establishing shots for like a whole movie. But yeah, Mellard, you're not really like a you're not like a scary movie guy in general, right?
For whatever reason during lockdown got into like bad 80s like my wife and like Flynn and I watched all of the Halloween movies with Michael Myers. It might have been because the new McBride ones are coming out or something, but I got super into it. I don't like gore, like the really gory somebody breaks their leg and it's visceral and disgusting and that kind of thing.
But
I like the slasher kind of goofy, you know, movies like that. I'm not big in it. Yeah,
I like some slashers. I can't get myself to watch those Terrifier movies.
Oh yeah, that's too much.
That's like, those are the ones where it's like, oh man, people are in the theater throwing up. It's like, I don't think I can.
Cool.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that clown, I think the makeup and the face of that clown and everything is like, you know, is a fun kind of terrifying.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, but then the violence is just so over the top and, you know, continuous.
Yeah.
Like
that's
it doesn't break ever, apparently.
Right. I just read like, I think it was on IMDb, you know, there's like the parental things that will just break down. Like, here's everything in this particular movie that gave it this rating, and just reading like the bullet points of that movie, I was just like, this is just disgusting. Who's watching it? This guy gets stabbed in the dick and then he puts the like shoves it on the windshield. Like, what is this?
Well, now I'm curious.
I mean, for that part won me over a bit.
There's two of them with a third on the way, Doug. So maybe you might want to wait so you can, you know, binge them all. You could do the trilogy in one sitting.
When they keep making them, like, there's got to be, like, the audience that's there for it, which makes me feel, again, where it's like, ah, this must be something I'm not getting, even though I haven't seen it. And that's part of what drives me crazy. It's like, watch it to see. It's got to be doing enough to make a third.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I do every September as I go to Austin for the Fantastic Fest, which is a genre film festival, but it's mostly a bunch of bloodthirsty maniacs who like the more, you know, they love the bleak movies, they love the violent ones, you know, but if it's violent and bleak, they could not be happier. And I just muddle through and just try to catch the ones on the fringe that are like a little bit more, you know, kind of mainstream and end up not giving me too many nightmares, but I've still seen some of the worst things I've ever seen at that festival.
Yeah. I know. Well, that was something else. That was something else I learned getting Shudder. When I downloaded Shudder, was like just scrolling through and it's like, oh, I am a mainstream dude of this world for sure. Cause like I didn't like most of those movies I never even heard of. Like, wow, I'm so in the dark, it turns out.
Yeah. When it comes to there's a lot of this world too. Yeah.
Yeah, there is. Yeah.
So how long have you known Melly Mel? Like when did you guys meet?
Dougie, what has it been now at this point? Like 20 years?
20 long fucking years.
Like, maybe 19, but man, it's been a long time. Cause like I would do like open mics and stuff while I was still in college. I would just like drive the hour down to Austin and do like, you know, either like open mics or eventually like those Tuesday mishmash shows. And you and a couple buddies like Huntsberger and Mr. Daniel Jackson, because I've known him for a long time, but like he was already in town. So you guys were like kind of buddying up and all that stuff. So then like I moved to Austin in 05. So I feel like I knew already. Right. Cause like,
yeah, it's so weird. I'm definitely not one of those comics that knows the exact date I hit the stage for the first time.
I'm so like, jealous of those people.
I'll see comics that are like, yep, 2003, October 3rd, 2 p. whatever. And I've been telling people I've been doing comedy for 20 years for what feels like 10 years for some reason.
Yeah, right.
Because I just take a guess. I'm like, sure. And I'm like, maybe I'm on 30. I don't know. Who?
I know. I wish this is such a dork thing to admit, but like if I could find my very first open mic set list, I could tell you the date because I wrote it at the top of the paper like a school report. And I don't know where. I mean, that thing's probably long gone. But yeah, so it's got to be like 19 or some years, since I first met you, and good those and the rest of the hooligans.
Yeah.
And then probably you, Mr. Doug Benson, not too long after that, maybe just like a few years or so. So you've been coming through that old Cap City for a long, long time.
Oh, yeah. I feel like, though, that like either we first met or actually just hung out more for the first time at a fun fest.
Oh, I did one of those. Yeah.
I think we met sitting around, outside by the comedy tent.
Yeah. God, that was a good jambulance too.
And the jambulance.
Oh, yeah. Wow, which man.
For those listening at home, it's exactly what it was, an ambulance that had a lot of alcohol and music, and I think it was tricked out with
you could sit in the middle of it, and it was like a little, once you're inside it kind of looked like just a little disco, and you know, they had some booze, they had some booze sponsor or something, but we just ended up sitting in there mostly because they would let us smoke weed in there.
Make sure.
But just also just being able to say, "I'll meet you over at the jambulance," is just it's too much fun. The word ambulance never comes up in a fun context.
I love it. That was such a good time. That I feel like that festival is like, it was like the perfect size. Like it wasn't this huge, like ACL size thing. It was like, I don't know, like a skate park in the middle of it and the food truck. God, that thing was so fun.
I think it was just like 3 or 4 years. And for me, it was maybe the most fun I've ever had at a fest. And I saw Killer Mike perform with like seven other people watching. Like it was insane. Like it was so fun.
Oh, yeah. That was a good time.
Speaking of Killer Mike though, he got arrested the other day at the Grammys. How crazy is that? That they're like, well, you know, he'll probably show up to the Grammys. Let's just arrest him there. You know, and he won 3 Grammys and he got to accept them all. And then they took him to jail. It feels like a movie, like where they come up to him and go, "Hey, we're going to arrest you." And he goes, "Can I just win these Grammys first?" And And then they have to like find seats for the cops so they can sit there and watch him so he doesn't run away.
That does feel like a movie thing where, like, in reality, when you read up on the guy, like, oh, those were all separate events. Before the movie, they condensed it down to one scene to just streamline this story. But that really happened. That's crazy.
Make it fun. Yeah. But the thing is I still, it was like an assault charge of some kind. So I guess he got in a fight somewhere. Like I think the night before, maybe like at a Grammy party or something. Anyway, wow. I'm talking out of school here because I don't know any of the details. It's 4 days later, and I haven't heard any more follow up.
I will say, I bet he was the only guy in there in the holding cell with a tuxedo on. Because I've been in a couple holding cells. Never anyone dressed up to a T for sure.
What were you wearing? Do you remember?
Just jeans and a t-shirt, probably.
Classic.
Kind of hard though to defend yourself in an assault case when your nickname is Killer. You're kind of already just sort of like flapping in the wind. So Brian, you called your comedy album, yeah. That's How Scientists Talk.
I know.
Yeah, I hope you're familiar with what you called your album. Doug knows all the titles of his albums, but why? How'd you end up on that title? That's the question.
I know it is a clunky title for sure.
I'm not criticizing it in any way. I just said it.
That is all me and my feelings. Like I originally, for most of the making of that album, it was gonna be called The Good Old Days based on like a bit on the album, and then I don't know why at some point I just thought of, so that That's How Scientists Talk is a line I say at the very end of a bit, and for some reason that line like jumped out, and I thought, like, because at the time I was really like just against like comedians were like every single, like their headshot had to be funny and everything they did like was like a goofy thing, and I was like, I don't know why that just drove me crazy. And so I thought of that line and I was like, oh, that sounds like a Death Cab for Cutie album or something. Like this sounds like some like indie band would like title their album that. And like as soon as I thought that, I was like, I'm just gonna go with that. This is like not silly or whatever. And so I just went, like, that was like a, what they call that, like an 11th hour change to call it that. And then just stuck with it. And then from then forward, anytime I'm in like a moment like this, where it's like, you got any plugs? Like, I have an album. It's called this laborious sentence. Sorry, everyone will definitely commit this to memory as I say it out loud right now. That's how
it's only four words, though.
Yeah, it's not long.
Not that bad, but.
Yeah.
Did you think about a question mark or an exclamation point or something?
I've almost just called it an exclamation point. That's what the album almost was.
At least it doesn't have fart safari in it.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I alluded to earlier, that Doug remembers the titles of his albums. I couldn't run you through the album titles, my album titles. I'd probably forget one or two of them, but sure. But I just thought of a punch up on That's How Scientists Talk.
Oh, please.
How about let's give them scientists something to talk about.
Let's give them scientists.
Oh, man. the process of making that album was so enjoyable that I did kind of like have like, oh, it's too bad it's only digital. Like I would like just for almost like my own sentimental self, like to have a physical version of it, which, so I did think like, oh, in a couple of years, it'd be fun to do an anniversary, like limited physical re-release of it. And I will call it, let's give this something to talk about. I'll just completely revamp this album.
Get somebody to do a cover of that song and change the words around.
Yeah.
Oh. And, they release it as a single. And then next thing you know, they're on television on the Grammys performing it with Who's the lady that sang that song? Bonnie Raitt.
Oh, yeah, I think
so. Was that Bonnie Raitt?
Yeah, I think so. Let's give them scientists talk about what? And actually, the rest of the words kind of fall into place. Give them something to figure out.
Well, yeah.
Talk about love. It's scientists trying to figure out love.
Well, they're trying to
that are just dumb hillbillies.
Yeah, it's a song about teaching AI.
Oh, God. Freaking AI. I can't even with the AI. Like,
awful.
The videos where, like, it'll be like some famous lady like Scarlett Johansson dancing and then her face morphs into, you know, Kate Hudson. I can't take it. I'm just like, those ladies had nothing to do with this and do not necessarily approve of it.
Yeah,
they might not. They might go, "Hey, look, look at me, I'm dancing." But still, like, it's takes away from actual dancers to have fake celebrity dancing.
Right,
it's just and bad.
It's already scary enough right now. Where with the whole fake news stuff, where I see people on Facebook that pass around horribly photoshopped things and believe it.
And, yeah,
like I can't imagine what's around the corner. It's terrifying.
Oh man, okay, this is a quick related aside. They're like, so like 99% of why I still have a Facebook is just follow one crazy dude I used to work in the same office as, and he's nuts, he's truly nuts. But he like a week ago was posting like, Elon Musk just added me as a friend. He called me. We like video called, like we're friends now. Like the only way for me to feel right now is humbled. And it was, and yeah, like he just got this video from quote unquote Elon Musk. It's like, oh no, this guy is getting like classically, like the new version of like old person scammed by this fake video of Elon Musk. And it's like, yeah, that's where things are going to head.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's
man.
Just Kyle Dunnigan.
Oh, dude. But yeah, it's like
Kyle
if you
Dunnigan
follow...
he has to take some pretty hard whacks from the ugly stick to pull that off, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Elon's got a crazy ham face, that's for sure.
He does. He looks like those pig people in Twilight Zone. That you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, they take off the mask and they look like Elon Musk.
Yeah.
That is so true. That is so funny. But yeah, it's like if you follow enough like visual artists on like whatever Twitter threads, whatever, like half of their feed is just them like, stop liking AI, this is destroying my life.
Oh,
sucks.
Yeah.
Man, such a bummer.
We're gonna start seeing really bad comedians suddenly getting
that,
a little better.
Wasn't there some like AI, wasn't there like a AI Carlin thing that
oh god
put
I don't
out
know.
Or something that was like a Lord. You know, one of those like 24-hour things people were talking about where there was like some like Carlin special like created through AI, but I don't know.
Yeah, using his brilliant mind to talk about what's going on today or whatever, and like
right.
that's not going to work. You know, his own daughter like immediately took to the internet
so.
And shut that down.
right. Oh, dude, such a bummer.
Yeah, can you imagine like some AI idiots putting out like a whole Carlin special or something? Like it would be just be so wrong.
Yeah, because like basic AI doesn't get stuff right. How are you getting
and they should program
off
into it? George Carlin would not approve of this, so like have him speak to that.
Right. Yeah.
Have AI say what they think George Carlin would say about AI.
Yeah. The worst.
He would just die again.
Yeah, it's
yeah,
I don't like
stupid.
It.
Nope.
Yeah, we'll see what happens, or maybe we won't, because you know it's going to be an ongoing threat for the rest of time. For rich people to just have computers create so-called entertainment and then sell it to people.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's already how this podcast is made.
I was going to say, I am staring at a computer right now.
All right. Well, we got to take a break.
Yeah.
But when we come back, we're going to do what this show is supposed to do. we're going to talk to you about names and your name and names in general. And we'll do that after these words. We'll be right back.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
We are back, and we didn't even get to the warm-up cues in the first half of the show, so let's kick those off with the question we ask every guest before we get to the meat of the thing. What's your tattoo situation, Brian Gutman?
Man, I'm at a robust zero tattoos. and I think, right, Benson, you're a zero tattoo guy, right?
I'm a zero tattoo guy, yeah.
Yeah. Which I don't know if you relate to this, but the fact that I don't have any means on a weekly basis, I think about tattoos. I don't like what would they be? Like, I don't know. There's a little bit of like, I don't know, where it almost feels like traveling, where it's like, throughout my whole life, am I never going to see the Eiffel Tower? I feel that same way about, like, am I never going to get a tattoo? Just do it one time.
Oh,
like,
maybe a tattoo of the Eiffel Tower is what
there
you
there we now. We're talking.
I get to see it every day.
That's true. Just have it on my forearm like that Pete and Pete lady tattoo.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think about it all the time. Like, what would it be? Like, how much meaning would I put into it? And then I always think, like, if I really like figured out something that really meant a lot to me, I could just frame that and hang it on a wall. And then I don't get a tattoo. That's how I end up feeling.
No, I don't love that. I've got plenty of things that I should frame and put on the wall. And I don't even do that. That's too permanent for my taste.
I have a hard case suitcase somewhere in this house that has prints that just have yet to be framed. For one reason or another. Yeah, I relate to that too. But it's like, I don't know. I think about like, oh, just do it. Just be a fun person, damn it. Get a tattoo. And then it's like, I don't know what it would be. I don't know. Like, I guess like...
I love the idea of you get the Eiffel Tower and then somebody asks you, have you ever been to Paris? And you're like, you point to your tattoo and you're like, yeah. I don't need to go.
Yeah, close enough.
Like, what?
Yeah.
This is my Paris, my arm. Yeah. So I always think like, all right, would I get like, all right, what are things that would mean a lot that I could get a tattoo of? Like,
you like Batman.
Batman's cool. Jurassic Park. These are cool things. I would say these are all badass, tough things. I did think like a cool tattoo would be that the Beetlejuice sandworm would be a cool tattoo.
I love like that being your first tattoo.
I know. It's all
just jump from zero to 1,000.
Like a really long sandworm, like all the way down an appendage.
Yeah.
Or maybe up a leg and ends on the stomach.
Yeah. That's right. Just wraps around my torso. First tattoo. How's it going, everybody? It's also, I'm just listing off like Comic-Con topics right now. That's like not cool at all. And then it's like there's like a one book I've read my son like a billion times, and it's like, oh, maybe it's something from that book I could like, that would like at least mean something or whatever. So, but I've never done it. And I know Mellard, like What was the most recent tattoo? Because I know you have 2000.
Oh boy, I don't know.
You can't probably ask him questions about anything.
I know. I thought maybe
he's
like,
not gonna know.
Probably the mom maybe... spaghetti one.
Oh, how long ago did you get that?
Like a year ago, maybe.
Okay.
Can't yeah, remember. He waited until no one remembered that that was a thing, and then he did it. Or is there? They're really, when did Mom's Spaghetti, when did that open? Isn't there one in or outside of Detroit? Like it's a
yeah,
real place.
I think there is. See, if the Detroit Lions had gone to the Super Bowl, I think that would be right back in the front of everybody's right. mind because Eminem
they got
everywhere.
They got pretty close though, and Eminem was there every yeah. week.
Was yeah. he really? Jack Nicholson
yeah.
style?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
No, he was the Taylor Swift of their team for sure.
Oh man!
Why like he was, at, they'd always cut to him, and you know, he wouldn't look that enthused. He'd just be chilling, but still,
right.
he is all about it.
Oh,
like, can
great.
You imagine living in Detroit or even Michigan in general, and the how exciting it would be for the Lions to finally be involved?
Man, wow. RoboCop would be so fun.
That's what they should have done when they were winning, is they should have came up with some sort of ball spike that was a tribute to RoboCop. Like one guy throws the ball and another guy
times.
Yeah, something like that.
Oh god.
Or somebody melts and gets hit by a car after a touchdown.
Something, you know, you guys are really spitballing some great stuff, but
man, I almost rewatched those movies the other night. Because it's been a while.
More than one of them? Because I'm done at the end of the first RoboCop. Like, yeah. I don't think they did a great job with the sequels and reboots.
Yeah,
no, they did not.
I actually think the first one's the only one I've seen. I heard the second one has some good like stop motion stuff, which I'm
maybe.
Yeah, I'm a nerd.
Find the
ass.
Clips on YouTube.
I know. Yeah. Yeah, that is all I should do.
Even
but
RoboCop
yeah.
1, you might be startled by how it's much slower paced than you would imagine.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and when that one RoboCop machine is like gunning everybody down, it just looks like a claymation. Like it just looks. It's not as scary as I remember it being, you know, when the movie first appeared.
Sure.
But
it's still
a good, you know, it's still a good satire and has good villains, you know, like it's fun to watch the part where the guy turns into sludge and gets hit by the car. Cause that's the same actor who wrote a letter defending, what's his name? The 70s show guy that the Danny Masters.
Oh, wow.
both of his parents from that show wrote letters to the judge saying, hey, go lenient or whatever. Hey, he's a good boy. But it's just like, well, did they get that Stockholm syndrome pretending to be his parents for that long that they just think they really have to defend him like your parents would? Like, yeah, it seems so like, don't they have publicists that would go, hey, you know,
yeah, don't do that.
This is going to come out that you wrote this letter saying, you know, hey, except for that rape situation, he's a good boy.
that is a bold move. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That is. I like that. If nothing else, it's nice that both parents like signed off. Like
they really did.
Parent-y.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. They're still in character.
They're still a family. Mila Kunis and Ashton Kutcher did too.
Then,
you know, the show had a pretty big cast, so there's plenty of people you can still like.
Yeah, we still like Fez, right? That was his name?
Fez. Wilmer yeah. Valderrama did not fuck with it. He is not
there
writing letters to
nice
the judge
job,
about
Fez.
That. Yeah, and Topher Grace is like not about it at all. Like, I think he was a little public about it. I wouldn't do that. I mean, Mila Kunis, like it's on the record that they hired her and she worked there after lying about being 18. So she was working like adult hours and stuff. and then it came out like years later that she had lied about how old she was. She was good on that show, though.
Sure.
All right, back to you, Brian.
Yes, sir.
Pets. Have you ever named any pets?
Yeah. So my wife and I have had to name now two doggies. We had Bella for 15 years, and then we just got a new dog. On Christmas Eve is when it like happened to like fall. Yeah. We weren't trying to do that like on purpose.
You weren't trying to have a dog. It just was an accident.
She was a surprise. No, we weren't trying to do the like Hallmark movie. we were looking into getting a dog, and then we went with our son to these shelters, and then he zoned in on this one. And so we were looking into her, and it was like, you know, there's this like grace period of like, she's pretty new here. So we wait to see if someone claims her. So the first day you could bring this dog home is December 24th. And so we like just put our name down, and then that's just like when it fell into place. So yeah. So then we had to name her too. So now we have Pepper, the little crazy dog. she's truly nuts.
That sounds like a kid's book. Pepper, the little crazy dog.
What will Pepper destroy today?
That's the crazy part, is it's just the dog can't stop tearing into things.
Kind of. I mean, we definitely, it's like, we do, if we leave the house, prepare as if like someone told us your house is going to flood while you're gone. Like everything just has to go up as high as it can so she can't. Because she will like chew through cords or shoes or whatever if it's just laying around.
Yeah, but that's out of anxiety because you're gone.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I'm sure there's some like separation thing, but then like she's most like when it's just her, me in the house the whole rest of the day, like she's super chill. Like she's usually just in another room, like kicking around, like just laying around or whatever. But like on her like little shelter papers, it was like, you know, she's kind of like nervous. And like if you have her on a leash, she'll do what they call like a gator roll to try to get out of it and stuff. So yeah, it's really intense. It's like trying to bring this thing home on the first day as it's like doing stop, drop and roll. Like, okay, this is still a good idea. We're sure of it. Yep. And like getting that in the car. Like, so yeah. But she's super sweet, like, and she loves, especially my wife, so much. She can barely move around the house without this dog, like, flinging to her with her front paws. Just like, we're best friends. We're best friends for life. So she's fun. But yeah, so those are the two pets we had to name. And I think when we were trying to come up with names, we were trying to think of, like, okay, what are, like, character names we love. Like we start with like literally like all right, does Julia Louis-Dreyfus, are any of her character names, do they make good pet names? And it's like Elaine's not really a dog name, doesn't feel like a puppy.
It's a funny one. Yeah.
It's like, this dog's name is Elaine. And so I was like, nah. And then so went through like TV shows, and then
what about call a dog Veep?
Veep the puppy Veep. I like it. And I think it was my wife's idea of Pepper from like Pepper Potts from Iron Man.
Oh, okay.
And yeah. And then as soon as she said the name Pepper, my son was like, he, for whatever reason, he like loved that. He was like, he will hear no other names. We are not, that was like an elevator pitch. Like, bought in the room. This is it. And so yeah, so it's Pepper. So we've had her since the holidays.
Good old Pepper. All right.
I mean,
it's just a couple letters off of Peppy. You know, it's good for an enthusiastic dog.
Dude, yeah, she has energy for sure. She already tried to run away once.
What?
Yeah,
the worst. I hate that concept that your dog could just like say, "Hey, listen."
Yeah,
I'm out of here. Oh, I might not intense. Remember how to come back.
Yeah, I know. It was kind of like we were like a few weeks into having her. I took her to the vet, for like to just check up on something. And it was just me and her. And I was real anxious about like, you know, like, how's she going to be? I know she, you know, this whole world is still new to her. Like, is she just going to be freaked out? And like the whole ride to the vet, she just chilled. She was like curled up, laying down, went to the vet. She was super calm. And I was like, oh, what was I getting so worked up about? We get home, pull in the driveway. She goes in the back seat. I was like, that, whatever. I go around, open the back door, and she bolts out, runs down the street. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. And she's like, this is how we found her at a shelter. This is how this all happened. And she took off like a rocket. I went sprinting for like a block, caught up to her. She went bolting back the other way to the house. She stood or like sat in front of our, in our front yard. And I just left her and walked to the front door, opened the front door, and then she went inside. And I was just like, what was that? You little maniac. You just freaked me out so much. And then she was fine, but it's just like, oh gosh, this is this is so stressful. But we love you.
Well, you passed the warm-up test, and now we're going to talk to you about your name and all the craziness that comes with it. Sure. Starting with, we'll do one part at a time. What was it like growing up, Brian, Bryan?
Yeah, I think when I think on it, I think it was good. I think I, like, you know, I liked my, it was never a name that got made fun of. Like, you don't really spin it into something.
Yeah, it's so unspinnable.
Yeah, that's what I would always say. Hey, try to spin it, you can't. And so I like, and I also think a thing that the name Brian and the name Doug share in common is they both feel like incredibly common names where you actually maybe know one to two people in your life that have ever actually had that name. Like, it feels like a super common name, but like there aren't just like a billion of Bryans walking around. So
you think Brian is losing favor, like dying out, or you, or
actually you think it's, I guess, just never so
been that popular?
Like, having a kid now, I definitely have not met a single little kid with the name Brian, so it's definitely not like back in rotation. So yeah, it's even as like, I feel like a pool of adults, if you like took a survey, it doesn't seem like it would be like a huge percentage of Bryans just everywhere. They're there, but there's not a million of them.
There's a lot of them in pop culture, but which ones spell it with a Y? Do you know specifically, or do you not even notice that?
I mean, we got the biggest one. We get Bryan Cranston.
He's a Y, yeah, that's right.
He's a Y, yeah. So, and it's like, I mean, especially right now, you don't get much bigger than that dude. So he's like the king of the Bryans, and he's on the Y team.
Okay, well, now like, let's name another one.
I know, Bryan Cox.
He's I think he's an I.
No, he's an I. That, yeah, but see, it's like, as far as Ys go, guys, help me out. I can only think of Cranston.
It might be you and Heisenberg, and that's it.
Heck yeah, dude. It's 90% of why I want to meet that guy, just to thank him for all the work he's done for our team.
There's got to be another. Well, there's Bryan Stumbull, is with a Y.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody spells Bryant with an I.
One of the stars of FX and FX2, Bryan Dennehy. Oh, he's an I, though.
He's an I also.
I think he's
an
I. Yeah. My, what was it? Elementary, middle school nurse thought my name was Bryant because my middle initial is a T. And so she just called me Bryant and I would just roll with it. But yeah, Bryan Gumbel.
Oh, my God. I'm so sad. I mean, I'm not sad, but I'm a little disappointed. I was hoping that your middle initial would be, I was hoping your middle name would begin with a vowel, because most of the vowels give you a fun set of initials.
I never thought of that.
Because you could, you know, beg, bog, bug.
Like that teenager in Uncle Buck. My name could be Bug.
Bug, yeah. Oh my God. Big. Let's talk about John Hughes for a second. Why did every one of his goddamn movies have to have a character whose name was not a name that people would give a child?
All right, let's run them down. Who we got here?
I don't know if it's true of every single one, but it's up there.
Well, you
I
got
guess
Bug.
Breakfast Club, none of them are that weird, but there's only six characters. He doesn't have enough room to... But, you know, every other movie comes up with stuff like Farmer Ted. Like, what is that about?
And Buzz from Home Alone.
Yeah, but like, what are the two boys in Pretty in Pink? There's Blaine, which certainly at that time was not a popular first name, I don't think. Right. And then there was the other one had a name that was like, what? Like, some kind of wonderful, the bully in that, his name is like Harper. It's some word that's not uses the first name a lot.
Right.
But anyway, that's just a pet peeve of mine is that, you know, but there's nothing worse than the things that Stephen King calls his characters.
What does he call it? What do you mean?
Because when they make a movie and they're not smart enough to get rid of the terrible names he gives, you know, their last names are like, I'm Joe Ratcatcher. Like, they're ridiculous.
Oh, sure. Right.
When they don't change them for the movies, it's just it's hard for the actors to say them and not sound like, what the hell are you talking about? You know, right. Bob Killingsworth over there. What? This is a horror movie. His name is Killingsworth?
That guy's name is Michael Bloodaxe. Okay.
So what were we talking about? Skinamarink? Why don't you get another dog and name it Skinamarink? I think that'd be fun.
Oh, dang it.
Skinamarink.
For a little while, my son did have a what are those fish? Beta. He had this black beta fish that he named Reaper after Grim Reaper.
Oh my god.
Yeah. And he's not much of a scary movie kid, but that was the name he gave that fish.
So what's the T stand for? Terrifier?
it's Thomas.
Thomas.
Yeah, classic spelling.
No, no attempt to throw a Y into that one.
Are
you sure they didn't think about calling you Timus?
Brian Timus Gutman. Just Brian Thomas Gutman. That's it. Just classic Thomas. And I don't know why middle names always feel like just inherently like embarrassing. Like, I don't know. It's
people are never anxious to share them, but oftentimes they're also willing to. Like, not too many people that are so embarrassed they won't tell you, but it is kind of a weird thing that it's just like, you know, you spend so much time using your first and last name when asked that, like, you get comfortable with it, but then it's rare that you have to say your middle name. So when somebody asks you to say it, it just feels weird because you don't walk around in your day-to-day life thinking in your head, I'm Brian Thomas Gutman, you know, like.
Yeah, and maybe it's that, I think that's a good observation that, like, you're so used to just saying your first and last name that middle name just, like, it hasn't, like, gotten its legs under it after all these years. And then there's the classic, like, the idea of, like, a parent, like, using your full name just, like, in certain occasions. So then it's like built in where it's like, if someone says my middle name, I'm 5 years old again. So it just makes you feel so small to like hear your own middle name. It's so bizarre.
It feels like you're making it up when somebody asks.
Yeah,
you know, because you can. They're not. The next question isn't, okay, show me your ID. You know,
yeah, like, prove it.
Yeah. Oh, I just remembered what Natalie Cuomo's middle name is, Doug. We were talking. I brought it up earlier. It's Sporn.
Okay, I knew porn was in it, but I couldn't remember
Sporn.
What.
Sporn.
Yes, yeah, Sporn so is the worst middle name we've come across.
Boy, that's like almost Spawn. It's almost a Marvel character.
Yeah, no, it's so we talked about it forever because it's just so hard to, you know, because that would be one like, what's your middle name? She just rolls her eyes, you know. Sporn.
Yeah, you can't just pass it along. It's going to be like a 30-minute conversation every time.
Yeah.
How do you spell it? Is that a family name? What region is that from?
Everything. That is, all the questions.
All of them. Why? The whole list. Every why question you can ask. Why?
Are you, who are would you do related this? To monsters? Why do they do this to you? Okay, so BTG.
Yes, sir.
You know me. How have you felt about Gutman? And do you think that how often do people spell it correctly on the first try?
Oh man, that never, the spelling never happens. It's always two T's. It's always one N. So I'm just in the zone of Gutman, G-U-T-T. I just did it wrong. Okay, nice. Jesus. But yeah, it's like one of those names that comes, it's built in that it's almost like spelling it afterwards is like now officially part of the name, is just how it goes. So yeah, no one ever spells it right, but I kind of like when I started stand up, everyone would just call me Gutman. It felt like it's like the first time I felt like I was in sports.
Yeah, it felt good. Sides, I'll take Gutman.
Yeah, I like it. And so like as the years go on, like people like, you know, move and like get like start like become part of the Austin comedy scene and they call me Brian, it's like, it's Gutman, come on, let's keep this going, it feels good.
But you never got to the point where like hosts and shows would say, ladies and gentlemen, Gutman.
Oh, I kind of want that to happen. That felt good. That felt really good. Oh man, it's truly.
It feels like a superhero name when you just say it alone. If you're saying it right.
Yeah. If you have man at the end of anything,
who's going to save us? Gutman. Like, well, yeah. It sounds like a character in a Pepto Bismol commercial.
Yeah. I fight the Mucinex monsters.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I love it.
But other than the spelling, though, there's no other issues. You have embraced it, and you love people just saying that as your name.
Because it does. It feels like the last name that you just call somebody by. And so, I do. I like it. And, I got no beef with that last name at all, except the spelling. All of it, yeah, that is the thing. The first and last name both come with their own spellings that will just never get right.
Has there ever been like a situation made worse by somebody spelling it wrong? Or do you usually, like, if somebody spells it wrong on a check, can you usually cash it okay? Or is that an issue?
Oh, that's I don't think anybody has ever checked a signature on a check ever in history.
Well, you know, if the check's made out to you and it's spelled with two T's or one N, like, you know, is that the kind of mistake that would be an issue? You know, like in that movie Brazil, Jonathan Pryce's character goes through hell because they got the wrong guy because they were one letter off.
Really? Oh yeah. Man. I feel like I've like deposited checks that were like made out to my wife, and I just my signature. Everyone goes, thank you, here's the money, and I go, thank you,
yeah.
And I walk away. Like, I have never heard of someone actually like checking, doing that level of due diligence.
Well, so I'm just saying, any kind of any kind of document or I'm just always paranoid about that shit. You know, like,
true. Because
like sometimes people will choose to call me Doug on things when like technically my name is Douglas. Like that's
right.
So the name's not going to match. Like if you like, I can't say Doug on my passport. Like I would end up getting people going, no, your name is Douglas. They get confused and spend the rest of my life in a foreign prison.
Right. That I was going to say, I feel like there are, when you get to that level, like passports and customs and all that, they kind of buckle down a little more. So yeah, I get it there, but I haven't dealt with, I mean, I've had to use a passport all of like a time or two. So like, yeah. Yeah. So yeah, no. That's never tripped me up in my life at all. But I feel bad because, you know, along with two dogs, we had to name a human once a handful of years ago, and we gave him a name that there's like variations on the spelling. So I feel bad that I've like passed that down.
The torch.
Yeah, I did. I wasn't even, we weren't even thinking about it at the time. Just like, oh, that's a good name. And then I was like, because I knew I was doing this podcast. I told him like, yeah, I have to do this thing where we talk about names and just like what they mean and all that stuff. And I was like, so what do you think of your name? And he's like, I mean, I guess people misspell it a lot. So it's like already at like 8 years old, that's like a thing that's like a conscious thing that he's registered in his life. It's like, man, people always misspell my name. And his right, name is...
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, his name is Gray, G-R-A-Y.
Right.
Lots of people get Gray wrong just in every... You know, in the color context or the, you know, it's easy to mix up.
Yeah, yeah. So he's like, and the thing with like the color thing, and this is how he put it. He's like, I get it with like a lot of names because they're just like made up or whatever. But he's like, but why is a thing that already exists and people misspell it? I was like, sorry, dude. I'm so sorry.
If I had to go through it, you have to go through it.
That's right. This is how you get tough. I'm like Johnny Cash.
But it's like, you know, you just don't know if people getting it wrong all the time, you know, would, it could lead to making someone feel special. Like it could promote, you know, and just also just the, you know, Gray is just an interesting first name in general, you know. So next time it comes up, just say, you know, people are going to find, when you get older, people are going to find you more interesting because that's your first name. And the spelling of it isn't going to be as much of a concern.
Yeah, I've been thinking about it too, where it's like having a name that people misspell a lot, it also makes you learn to not be so precious about stuff like that. So I kind of appreciate it on that sense, where it's like, you know, I'm sure we've all like hosted a stand-up thing where you bring someone up and they like the first thing they do to open their set is on stage and it will like correct your pronunciation of their name, and it's like, dude, this is, you gotta let go of this man. And, like, you've got, the clock is already ticking, dude. You can't be burning time just explaining how your name sounds to the jokes, buddy. So yeah, I think that's something that having a name like Brian has kind of taught me over the years.
Well, this was a terrific, the hour flew by. It was great talking to you about all this name stuff. I always try to make a anagram of the guest's name. And it, you know, sometimes it's easier than others, but in your case, this is what I came up with. You could flip the words around. It's, you know, it's two new words instead of Brian Gutman. But I think, oh shoot, no, I'm missing a letter. Dang it.
No. So close. Oh, no.
I was so close. Because you got to use every letter, you know? And I wish it was Gudman instead of Gutman. Because if it was a D, this would have worked out perfect. Because then it would have been a Bunny Grandma. But instead, all I'm left with is Bunny Grandma. And that doesn't make sense. So I'm going to have to. Go back to the drawing board. But what would you like to promote, Brian Gutman? Do you have any place people can come see you coming up?
Oh, sure. If this drops soon.
Tonight.
Oh, right on. Okay. So tomorrow, Friday night, come to Roscoe's. It's one of the 78 new clubs here in Austin, Texas. I'll be at Roscoe's on the east side. Super fun. Paul Otto does a show there called Rough Cut. And go to that. I've got some other shows I'm trying to nail down. So just go to Brian Gutman on Instagram. And I'll be posting stuff there about upcoming shows and projects and stuff. And what the heck? If people like Instagram because they like pictures, I've got Brian Gutman at Brian Gutman Photography if they want to see some photos. And I've got like an art show coming up in a couple months. And all that stuff. So yeah, that's all the things I can think of right now.
Right on. Doug Mellard, what do you want to plug?
Tonight, Friday, I will be at the Velveeta Room here in Austin as well, 8 o'clock. So don't go to Brian's show. Go to my show.
Oh, mine's at 7.
Okay, perfect. Chris Tellez. And then, I'm opening for Chris Tellez. And then next weekend, the 16th through the 18th, I'll be at Cap City here in Austin. Two shows, Friday and Saturday, opening for Tim Meadows. So right on. Check that out.
Try to remember to say hello for me.
I will. Yeah, we'll talk next week too. So yeah. For sure.
Oh, that's great. I will definitely be there. I was excited to see it's coming through.
Yeah.
Right on. I'm going to be at a popular spot. It's like every other Thursday. Permanent Roadhouse Records is the venue for Popular Kids Club. I'm doing that on Thursday, February 15th. So give that a plug, because anytime you're in town, that's a fun twice a month outdoor show in LA. And Doug Loves Movies is back at the Improv Lab at the Hollywood Improv on Tuesday, February 20th. All my dates are at douglovesmovies.com. And we've settled the title right at the beginning of the show. So this is going to be easy to wrap it up. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
Thank you, producer Ryan, no B, but is spelled with a Y. And of course, Doug Ballard. I'm Doug Benson, as always. My two Dougs.